Our special guest tonight is Carl Kirby. And for those of you who know, Carl was with Answers in Genesis for 15 years. And then now he has established a program and ministry called Reasons for Hope. And as we even identified this morning in our culture, in our society, and in our world, probably never more a time now that's needed for the reasons for hope. And if you remember that passage in 1 Peter 3:15, we're to give an answer for the reason of hope that's in us. And that's what Carl was talking about today, our faith lived out and demonstrated. People see in us a difference, and that's what we give them, the reason. But if we don't know what the reason is, we won't say anything. So without taking any more time, I'd like to introduce to you Carl Kirby. He's going to have the entire time with us, and after our time together, we invite you in the back into the gymnasium for a time of fellowship and ice cream. And I told everybody, if you're sitting up closer, you'll get a better chance for the ice cream, because the people in the front will be dismissed early. Okay, so yeah, so back row people, you're going to be last. Just like a wedding or a funeral, you have to go out that way, all right? So, but this is neither one. So, Carl, why don't you come up? I'll have a word of prayer with you, and we'll get started right away.
Thank you so much for being with us. Let me pray with you. You know, your ear thing isn't on, please.
Yeah, thanks.
Father God, we just thank you again for the privilege tonight of worship. Worship with a dynamic confrontation of our hearts and our minds. And we just pray, Lord, through your servant, Carl, for the passion you've given to him, for the wisdom you've given to him, for the experiences you have invested into his life that now he shares with us, that it won't just go there, but it will go there into our hearts and go into our lives that we actually use it and it actually becomes meaningful. Thank you for the truth that he shares because it's based on your word. We ask, Father, you'll encourage him and strengthen him through your spirit. And we ask this in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, sir.
All right, be honest.
How many are here for the ice cream? Me too. So we'll make this quick. I can't do that. I don't know how to do anything quick. So we'll go for this. Thank you for coming back. Is there anybody that is not here right now that was here this morning? That's a test. That's a test. Want to see if you all are listening or not. Well, tonight is kind of like application to what we talked about this morning. And thank you, Pastor, for the whole synopsis of Reasons for Hope, because our board chairman is here tonight, Randy. He's actually from Grand Rapids area. And I remember our first board meeting where it was like, okay, so, Carl, why do you want to do this? I was like, well, we're talking, well, we're losing the kids, the younger generation, and so what are you going to do? I said, well, the only thing I know how to do is go out and challenge them and, you know, try to get them to have answers for their faith. Why? Well, the Bible says. Where does it say that? Well, 1 Peter, what's it say? It says, be prepared to give an answer. And I'll never forget Randy, man. He really confronted me because he said, Carl, you're doing what I see so many other apologetic ministries doing. You're only reading a part of that verse. What does the whole verse say? And when you go to do a study on that whole verse to sanctify the Lord Jesus, to be prepared to give an answer for the reason for the hope that lies within you with meekness and fear, and you read that whole thing in context, I had always put the emphasis on the giving the answer part. That's apologetics, give an answer. But when you read that scripture, that's not where the emphasis goes. The emphasis is on being obedient. You see, by giving answers, you're being obedient. By being obedient, you're actually offering hope because you're pointing people to Jesus Christ. And so, you know, it's easy to get focus off sometimes. And I didn't say this morning, but, you know, I see a lot of times where apologetics folks come in and try and beat you up with their IQ. Well, I can't do that. I told you all that this morning. I'm not very bright. I'm a simple man. You never argue anybody into the kingdom. We're not called to argue anybody into the kingdom. We're called to give an answer why we believe what we say we believe, to do it with meekness and fear. Be obedient. And because you can have all the answers in the world and be totally worthless. Let's be blunt. You can have answers, be the smartest guy on the planet, and be totally worthless in the cause of the gospel. Because if your life and your lips aren't in sync, you got a big problem. It's called hypocrisy. What's one of the number one attacks against Christianity? Say one thing, live another. So if your life and your lips aren't in sync, that's why on our tagline we say when it comes to our faith, you need to know it, you need to live it. But then there's one more section, and that's share it. Because you can live a great life, you can have great answers, but if you never get to the point where you tell them about Jesus, let's be honest, we got nothing unless it's Jesus. That's where our hope lies. That's the reason for hope. So the asterisk leads to the answer, and you can just leave the picture up tonight. You don't have to flip in and out, because I'm going to be going in and out and in and out on this stuff. So that's why the asterisk leads to the answer, and you see that, know it, live it, share it, but Jesus is it. Answering Skeptics, Richard Dawkins. Now, why would we do this? And I feel sorry for a couple of the young folks here. Last time I was at the school, I did this talk, so it's going to be rehashed for them, and I apologize. Why would we talk about Richard Dawkins? Because Richard Dawkins is really just a symptom of a problem. If Richard Dawkins is using an argument, I guarantee you there's a whole lot of other folks that are using that argument. Because he's just like a face, okay? He says it, minions regurgitate it, and that's just reality. So go to the leaders, find out what their arguments are, then deal with them. By the way, I found this picture. What's wrong with this picture? Can you see? Here, let me blow it up for you. What's wrong with this? So I'm going to pay $3.49 for 100 plastic pennies? Are you with me? That's a scam. I tell you what, I'll sell you 100 real pennies for $3 and give you a discount. I'm weird. I wonder about these things. Now, when you come in this room, you look at this desk, and you see some things on this desk, and let me see how good at observing you guys are. So I ask you some questions here. What is that? A globe. Okay? I tell folks all the time, remember, you better ask good questions. You better question the question when somebody asks the question, because people can ask you questions in such a way that you can't come to a right response. Well, look up close and you say, well, that's a globe, and I'm here to tell you that's not a globe. That's actually a picture of a globe. But when you look at it, it sure looked like a globe. How many hours do the younger generation spend in school every year? Anybody remember? 900 hours a year? Nope. I'm sorry. It is 900 hours a year. How many hours in front of a TV set? Anybody remember that number? 1,064 in front of a TV. Video games, the gamers? 936. Think about it. They're being taught by the world to think like the world. They're given a history that undermines the Word of God, and they're taught to look at things from a very specific perspective. We've got to teach them to look beyond the veneer, because things can look really good that aren't. Now, let me give you one more test here, see if you guys are really paying attention. Let's take a look at these glasses, okay? Are the glasses real, or are they a picture of the glass? You're not going to burn me twice, Carl. Who thinks they're real? Who thinks they're a picture of glasses? Interesting. Congratulations. Most of you got it correct. The glasses are real. Good job. You were looking closely, looking carefully. But there's only one problem. The table's not real. Let me make a statement right now. Young people especially, hear me on this. Satan doesn't play fair. He doesn't have to. He's the father of lies. He's the king of deceivers. He doesn't play fair. So you better watch things carefully. God tells us to be strong and of good courage. Fear not, nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, he it is that does go with thee. He will not fail thee. He will not forsake you. How can that be when we sing about, Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. You take control of it. I give it all to you. But we're almost invisible in the culture. He calls us to be strong, to be bold, to not be afraid. I mean, think about it. He goes on to say, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. And that's what we need. I say this again to you. I said it this morning, but you can only talk about what you know about. And a part of the reason we see such a void of Christianity in the culture is, I think, because we have so many Christians, quote unquote, that are an inch thick in their faith, and they don't know how to apply it out in the real world. And I don't want to talk about things that somebody can call me out on and show that I don't know very much about it. There are certain topics that I will not talk about because I know that there will be questions that will be asked of me and I will not be able to answer them and I'm going to look like a goof. I don't like looking like a goof, so I try to avoid those topics. But that's reality. You can only talk about what you know about. Well, Richard Dawkins went into Wendy Wright. Anybody remember her? She was the president for Concerned Women for America in Washington, D.C. He shows up at her office one day, and he just shows up with a film crew and kind of just ambushes her and goes after her. So I am not starting this off. I am not mocking. I am not ridiculing Wendy Wright. But let's take and learn the way that she dealt with questions and see if we can't deal with them a little bit differently. One of the things that I want to identify as we go through this, though, are tools that are used to get us to doubt. Remember, 400,000 churches across the nation of America, and Christianity is almost invisible. And that's because Satan uses very key tools to get us to that point where we won't open our mouth and we will blend in and we will hide. And one of those major tools that he uses is condescension. Condescension. It's a big tool. If you have a student that's going to a secular university, I have not in the last year, I take that back. In this last year that I've been doing ministry, any college group that I've had, I've asked a question. How many of you in here, day one in your college course, had a teacher in any one of your courses that said, are there any Christians in here? And if a hand went up, they got one of three responses. Number one, pick your books up, get out of here, I'm not wasting my breath on you. Number two, we'll see about that by the end of the semester. Or number three, okay, and then the rest of your time in that class was a nightmare. In this last year, I've had one group of college age that said we didn't experience that. Every other college age group has said they've at least one person's experienced that. And one of the major tools that's used is condescension. Let me give you an example of that Richard Dawkins style.
Where did you study science?
Now, this is a simple one because you're going to see more of it fleshed out as we go along here. But I do this because people will come up and they will confront me that disagree with me and say, so Carl, where did you study science? Do you have a PhD in science? So, you don't have a PhD in science, so why are you talking about these things? My response back is, so I need to have a PhD to talk about this. Then may I ask you a question, Dr. Dawkins? Where did you study the Bible? Do you have a PhD in the Bible? Because you sure have a lot to say about it. Where did you study Christianity, sir? Because you sure have a lot to say about Christians. So what gives you the right to talk about the Bible or Christians if you don't have a PhD in it? You see, the question shouldn't be where did we study something? What is our degree? And our question should be what I am saying, does it line up with what we see in the world around us? Is it true or not? And then you can speak with boldness, and I don't care what your degree is in. Now, am I telling you not to know, to go get a degree? No, I want Christians to go to the highest level. I want you to go to Harvard. I want you to go to Yale if you're called to do it. Not everybody is called to go there. Trust me. Some are. Go. But you better have a good support network around you when you go, because I'm telling you right now, they're coming after you. Because they're coming after them in the Christian, quote-unquote, schools. All right? My son went to a Christian school. His Bible teacher told him, anybody that believes the Bible has a retarded faith. Yeah. You believe the Bible? You believe it's true? You have a retarded faith. That was his Bible instructor in a Christian college. So it's not just secular colleges, guys. You got to wake up and realize that. The battle is very broad. It's going on. But do I want to come across as a jerk? No, I don't. Do I? Probably. Sometimes I do. But what I attempt to do, honestly, is I attempt to speak the truth in love. But I'm not going to back down, and I think we have to challenge back. When you get these guys coming after us, there comes a time when we stand up and say, let's deal with it. Not running, not hiding, not blending in anymore. You can't blend in. Undercover Christianity has got to disappear in our culture. It's got to go away. I mean, think about it. It's almost like we got James Bond Christians. You got the new James Bond film out, and it feels like we have Christians that are trying to be like James Bond. You know, ooh, made it through another day. Nobody found out I'm a Christian. Yeah. That's got to go away, man. We've got to start standing up and speaking out, because by our silence, the picture that this generation sees of Christians on Family Guy, Simpsons, Desperate Housewives, Law and Order, that becomes Christianity. And you and I both know that what you see depicted there is not Christianity, but by our silence, it becomes Christianity. Westboro Baptist is not Christianity, but by our silence, that becomes the image that the world has of us. We've got to change that image. So, what is the evidence that Dr. Dawkins uses to go after Wendy Wright? I think it's a good thing that we know what it is, and then we try to deal with it. So,
I'm sorry, but we can show you the evidence. All you need to do is read an elementary textbook of biology. It's all there.
Well, that's interesting you should bring out the textbooks on biology. We still have textbooks today.
Yeah, I know you're going to talk about peppered moss, and you're going to talk about Haeckel's embryos.
No. In fact, what I was going to talk about is what they claim to be the evolution of a fetus in the womb,
yes,
based on Haeckel's hand
embryos.
Drawings,
yeah,
which have been proven to be false, and yet they continue to be published in scientific textbooks. textbooks.
Haeckel's embryos are just one little thing. It's a Victorian thing. Plenty of people made mistakes in
And yet continues to be published in today's textbooks.
Well, no longer, actually. But I don't think it's really fair, is it, to pick on particular Victorian mistakes. It is a Victorian mistake.
Oh, I mean, but it was carried over into the 20th century.
Yes, and that was a mistake, and that's been corrected.
By the way, did you catch the condescension? All you need to do is read an elementary textbook on biology. Believe it or not, even though I'm the son of a professional wrestler, I have read an elementary textbook on biology. I even took it in college, and I read one there. So I have done that. So that little dig, that little, just read an, excuse me. Let's go back and deal with what the issue was. What is he talking about? Haeckel's embryos, right? You've heard of Haeckel's embryos. Let's take a look at what they are, because this is what he said. Haeckel's embryos, that was a mistake, and that's been corrected. That's a direct quote, am I right? Hold me accountable. Frozen chosen ain't working. Talk to me. Isn't that what he said? That's what he said. So let's deal with it. Here's the embryos. Whoa, looky there, looky there. You start off with all these different animals, and they go through the various stages, and they look very similar as they're developing inside the mother. And these were the original drawings, and look how similar they are. Chicken looks like a human. You can hardly tell them apart. There's only one problem. They are fraudulent pictures. They were known to be fraudulent within years of them being published, all right? Today, they can do some pretty cool things. They can take pictures, actual pictures of the embryo, and the actual embryo compared to the picture is not very similar. They're very different. And by the way, let's go to that college-level book on biology. And there was a young lady in here that talked with me this morning. Are you here tonight that had to take your college-level biology class? Are you here tonight, ma'am? No? She was here. I was going to ask her if she saw these things, because I'm telling you they're still there. This is what the college-level book says. Early developmental stages of animals whose adult forms appear radically different are often surprisingly similar. Neo-Darwinian mechanisms explain why embryos of different species so often resemble each other in their early stages as they develop, seem sometimes to replay the steps of evolution. Let me take you to some of the drawings that are in the textbook. You're telling me this is a mistake and it's been corrected? Then why do we still show humans with gill slits and tails? You never have gill slits and you never have a tail. Never, period. You never have a yolk sac. When you go to the textbooks, you will still see the same images. Let me take you to this one right here. Those are the exact same drawings, and they're not being used to tell you that this was fake, this was fraud. They're being told that this is the way that it is. And the man who wrote this textbook is an interesting guy. His name is Douglas Fudiyama, and he knows that those pictures aren't accurate. Listen to what he says when asked about using the pictures. He says, as such, if textbooks use the drawings at all, it is a historical example and is a way to illustrate the concept in such a way that students are able to grasp it immediately. Even if the drawings are fraudulent, they can still be used for this purpose because the concept they illustrate is by no means fraudulent. Okay, now let me try something here. I want to make sure that I'm not misunderstanding this. It's okay for me to use fake pictures to prove a true point. How about we do something really radical here? Call me weird. How about we use real pictures to prove a real point? If truth is on your side, what you see in the world should be consistent with it. You shouldn't have to fake stuff to prove your point. Guys, it has not been resolved. Any high schoolers? Any high schoolers? Biology text, have any of you seen pictures showing us with gill slits, tails? Anybody? Is still in the textbooks? I see heads nodding. It's still there. We still have a generation that's being lied to, and they know that these pictures aren't true. Tools that are used to get us to doubt, deception. Satan is the father of lies. He doesn't have to play fair. You better learn that lesson, because he is not going to play fair. So, what is the evidence that he uses to prove his position? Evolution's a fact, Carl, everybody knows it. What is the evidence that he uses to prove it? Let's deal with it, see what we get.
Or even beyond that, surely there'd be at least one evidence.
Massive amount of evidence. I'm sorry, but you people keep repeating that like a kind of mantra, because you just listen to each other. I mean, if only you would just open your eyes and look
show
at the
Show it
evidence.
To me. Show me the bones. Show me the carcass. Show me the evidence of the in-between stage from one species to another.
Every time a fossil is found, which is in between one species and another, you guys say, ah, now we've got two gaps where previously there was only one. I mean, almost every fossil you find is intermediate with something and something
else. If that were the case, the Smithsonian Natural History Museum would be filled with these examples, well, but instead they're not.
Oh, you're talking my language now. Remember this morning, what did I say? You want to go through the museum? You want to go through the Smithsonian with me? You want to go through the London Museum of Natural History? You want to go through Denver? You want to go through Cincinnati? Let's go. I'm telling you to go to those places. What's he kind of hinting at? Well, you guys don't go look at the evidence. I'm the guy that's sitting over saying, parents, you need to take your children to the zoo, to the museum, to the aquarium, and teach them how to deal with this issue. Quit running from it. The fact that we don't deal with it makes it appear like we got something to be afraid of. So you have a generation that's like, ooh, they must have something because we just don't talk about that. Some mystery. It's not a mystery. You got God, you got gas. There's your mystery. How does gas turn itself into everything that we see? That's a mystery. You see, guys, did you catch condescension? You people. It's just constant. It's constant. Now, he said there was a massive amount of evidence. Help me here. I'm a simple man. Can someone tell me what number would constitute massive? Would 100 constitute massive? 1,000. Would that be massive? 1,000,000. 1,000,000. That's massive? When do we cross the line from to massive? I mean, I'm just trying to figure that out. I'm a simple guy. Well, they've got a massive amount of evidence, so I want you to listen. I want you to listen to the evidence, but I want you to also listen for a theme because it's kind of interesting to see what happens. In full disclosure, this next clip is a montage. You know what I'm talking about? I took a big segment and I pulled snippets out because this is a 3-hour video, all right? You don't want to be here 3 hours tonight and then me talking, that's 6 hours. You don't want to do that. So I pulled snippets out, all right? Listen and see if you kind of see a theme as well as the teaching.
Now, in the case of humans, since Darwin's time, there's now enormous amount of evidence about intermediates in human fossils. And we've got various species of Australopithecus, for example. Some Australopithecus are intermediate between others and ourselves. Then you've got Homo habilis, Homo erectus. These are intermediate between Australopithecus, which was an older species, and Homo sapiens, which is a younger species. I mean, why don't you see those as intermediates? And I just told you about Australopithecus, Homo habilis, Homo erectus, Homo sapiens. Archaic Homo sapiens and then modern Homo sapiens. That's a beautiful series of
You're
intermediates.
You're still lacking the material evidence.
Material evidence is there. Go to the museum and look at it. Now, I presented you with, I don't have them here, obviously, but you can go to any museum and you can see Australopithecus, you can see Homo habilis, you can see Homo erectus, you can see archaic Homo sapiens and modern Homo sapiens. A beautiful series of intermediates. Why do you keep saying, present me with the evidence? Well, I've done so. Go to the museum and look.
And I'm not convinced
have you seen Homo Have you seen Homo erectus? Have you seen Homo erectus? Have you seen Homo habilis? Have you seen Australopithecus? And I'm talking about facts. I'm talking about, I've told you about certain fossils, and every time I ask you about them, you evade the question and you turn to something else. But I have told you about 4 or 5 fossils, and you seem to simply be ignoring what I'm saying.
Why
don't you go and look at those fossils?
I wish I could be down on the floor. I like being down here so I can look you guys in the eyes. Any theme? What did you catch? Talk to me here. What did you catch? I told you. What else? What's that? Well, that is on my side because remember I did a montage, so I did cut her off. But you're right, he does cut her off quite a bit, but it's even more glaring because of the way that I edited it. That's why I was telling you it's a montage. But he does cut her off quite a bit. Anything else? Observations? Oh, he did what? 4 or 5. But this is massive. Help me understand massive again. 5 is massive? Anything else? What did you notice about his demeanor? He's talking down to her, but did you notice a progression? Did you notice at first he was just like a teacher, and you have Australopithecus, you have Homo erectus, you have Homo habilis, but then by the end, he's much more aggressive. Why? Go to the museum and look. Why does he get more aggressive? Let me be honest with you. If you and I get in a discussion and we start having a debate and I ask you a question and you don't answer that question, you go someplace else and you try to answer a question that I didn't ask, what am I going to do to you? I'm calling you back to the point. You know what I'm saying? I asked you this, you want to talk about that? I don't want to talk about that. Let's talk about this. Because when you start evading and start going someplace that you haven't been asked, you're telling the other person that you don't have an answer. The reason that you see that progression is that because she's not answering the question. How many in here tonight feel comfortable talking about Homo erectus, Homo habilis, Australopithecus, Archaic Homo sapien? Anybody feel comfortable? That's a part of the problem. We can't talk about those things. You need to be able to talk to those things. Listen to what he says.
You said there are no fossil intermediates, and when I told you about fossil intermediates, you changed the subject.
See, that's what we do many times. We change the subject because we don't know how to talk about them. This is why I go after that younger generation, because I want them to be able to talk about these things. Because when you can talk about them, you're no longer silent. Apathy comes about as a consequence many times of not having answers. So we blend in because we don't want to get called out. You know, he wrote these quotes, but I could sign my name to them. Think about it. I want you to look at the facts. Don't believe what you've been told, that there's no evidence. Just go look at the evidence. I want you to go to the museums and look at the facts, and don't believe what you've been told, that there's no evidence. Just go look at the evidence. I'm saying the exact same thing. I can write my name to that because that's exactly what I want you to do. I want you to go look for yourself. If you try to take something that you've heard somebody else say and you try and go use it and regurgitate it, not going to be as powerful if you are the one that goes and does the study for yourself, and then you can speak with authority. The reason I can talk about these things the way that I do is because I've been digging in there. I've been looking. I want the pictures. I want the video. I'm not running from any of their stuff. Bring it. Let's deal with it. That's when you're going to get somebody that's going to be bold. So let's deal with it. By the way, one of the tools that's used to get us to doubt, intimidation. Did you notice? Intimidate. And boy, that's used in the college class. You better believe that's used in the classroom big time. Your grade. Oh, I own you. So, direct quote. Enormous amount of evidence. Enormous. Okay? All right? We've gone from massive to, okay? Intermediates in human fossils. Various species of Australopithecus, Homo habilis, Homo erectus, Archaic Homo sapien, modern Homo sapien. By the way. Homo sapien is us. So we Archaic Homo sapien, Homo erectus, Homo habilis, and various species of Australopithecus. There's four things. You can learn about those four things. You can learn about those. This isn't deep and difficult. Let's take the first one. Various species of Australopithecus. Tomorrow I'm talking at, day after tomorrow, I'm talking at Grace, and we're going to deal with some of our supposed evolutionary ancestors created in the image of God or gas. We're going to deal with that. This is the most famous Australopithecus, Lucy. We're just going to touch on it. This is the chart. This is the chart that the guy who discovered Lucy made up to show how you start over here with an ape-like ancestor, Ardipithecus, give it enough time, right circumstances, you get Homo sapien, us. Now, very important thing here. Some of the young folks have been around me for a while now, and I've already given you the answer to this. What does the skinny line mean, young folks that have heard me speak before? It's already up there. Come on. Skinny line is story. What does the bold line mean? Remember that? Actual evidence. You can know that just from looking at this chart right now. Before I start filling it in, you got to see this. The actual evidence is the bold stuff. The skinny line tying it all together is what we think happened. Because if you have actual evidence, it's not skinny, it's bold. You need to pay attention to that. So let's take a look at it. There's Ardipithecus. Oh, we could deal with that, but we won't. This is nowhere. That's an ape. So now we get up to here. There's Australopithecus. But he said there's various species of Australopithecus. He's correct. No doubt about it. Let me introduce you to him. This is Australopithecus. This is Australopithecus. This is Australopithecus. By the way, you critically evaluate. Quit teaching what to think. Teach how to think. Critically evaluate that chart right there. We're talking about things that are gradually over time becoming human. Intermediate forms, right? Do these lead to Homo sapien using their own chart? No. So Dr. Dawkins, my question is, why are you talking about various species of Australopithecus when every one of the other Australopithecus don't have anything to do with the human lineage? Only one supposedly does, Lucy. So let's deal with Lucy. You've heard of her. She's famous. Let me just cut to the chase, though. I'm going to take you to the museum in Houston that got the actual bones out of Africa, brought them to America, put them on display. They made a study guide. This is their study guide. I didn't make it up. The study guide that they made for all the teachers that were bringing the students to come see Lucy, and it was called right here, Lucy's Legacy, the Hidden Treasures of Ethiopia. On page 20, this is what they teach, all right? This is their guide. This isn't a Christian creationist thing. This is their guide. For many years, Lucy was thought to be a direct human ancestor. Oh, that's not a good start. But we now see her as belonging to a separate group of hominids from those which became our species, Homo sapien. What does that mean? Lucy is not in our lineage. She's not in our lineage, according to the people that brought the bones out of Africa and put them on display in America. That's their stuff. Let me give you another source. Jerusalem Post. Lucy is not a direct ancestor to humans. Let me give you another source, all right? Richard Leakey. Have any of you ever heard the Leakey name? Come on now. When you hear Leakey, that is like one of the most respected names in the world of evolution. So out of respect, when I say Leakey, please hum for me. Hum. I got to hear you hum. Hum. All right. So whenever I say the word Leakey, you got to hum just to show respect. Nobody hummed. Come on now. You got to hum. Thank you. If pressed about man's ancestry, I would have to unequivocally say that all we have is a huge question mark. Huh? That's not good. To date, there's been nothing found to truthfully purport as a transitional species to man, including who? So according to one of the most famous names in the world of evolution, Lucy's not in the lineage. It goes on to say this, I would have to state that there is more evidence to suggest an abrupt arrival of man rather than a gradual process of evolving. Can I go out on a limb here and let me throw something at you? Let me see if I can explain an abrupt arrival of man and it makes sense because that's what the evidence actually shows. God took dust, he formed it, he breathed into it, and man became a living being. That's about as abrupt as it gets. So what I see in the world is consistent with what I read in the Word and not the supposed charts. So Australopithecus is toast. It's toast. It's not in the lineage. I can show you some of the latest charts, by the way. Some of the latest charts show Lucy clearly out of the human lineage. She is no longer in the human ancestry. That's the most famous of all the ancestors. But let's move on, because he also said Homo habilis. Oh, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? We have Homo habilis. What you're going to do is go look at the actual evidence. Quit running and hiding. Homo habilis was discovered by Louis Leakey in Olduvai Gorge. Thank you. That was a test. And you all passed. It's a way that I know if you're still awake or not, okay? So he discovered it in Olduvai Gorge. Now, let me go back to the sun, and this is what the sun said. Remember this. To date, there's been nothing found to truthfully purport as a transitional species to man since 1470. Now, it's interesting. When they find bones, they not only give them names, they give them numbers. Do you know who 1470 was when they first discovered it? Homo habilis. Hold up. So the son of the guy who discovered it says it's not in the human lineage. But Carl, it is no longer assigned to Homo habilis. It is now Homo rudolfensis. Okay. We'll deal with it. I'll tell you how we'll deal with it. Let's go to the Smithsonian David Koch, K-O-C-H, Hall of Human Origins. By the way, do you notice I'm not using any Christian sources? I'm not using creationist sources. We're using the secular sources. Because when you use the secular sources and you learn how to pick them apart, it's a game. It's fun. David Koch, Hall of Human Origins, go do a search, Google search on it. This is their, come on, $24.5 million to build this exhibit. And that's not including the website. And it's a good website, all right? Homo habilis. Who's Homo habilis? Let's take a look at what they have to say. Tell us who was discovered, what was discovered. We don't know everything about our early ancestors, but we keep learning more. So what don't we know about Homo habilis? Well, below are some of the still unanswered questions about Homo habilis that may be answered with future discoveries. Was Homo habilis on the evolutionary lineage that evolved into later species of Homo and even perhaps our species, Homo sapien? Excuse me. If you got to ask the question, that means you don't know. Am I right? If you're saying, was it in our lineage, then why are you using it as evidence that we evolved from it? Does it make sense to you? Am I losing you? If you, the scientists, have to question if it was in our lineage, you have no right to use it as evidence that we evolved. Does that make sense? Guys, they don't know. Read the rest of their quotes. Are Homo habilis and Homo rudolfensis, oh, 1470, are they even different species? We don't know. But the son of the guy who discovered it says that it's not in our lineage, so either way you want to go, it's not in our lineage. There's even more. If Homo habilis is not an ancestor of Homo erectus, how does it fit in our evolutionary tree? If you don't know that, why are you using it as evidence that we evolved? I don't think that's very honest, to be honest with you. By the way, let's take a look at their chart. One more thing about their chart. Here we go. Homo habilis extended out. According to the chart, would it ever lead to Homo sapien? So much for Homo habilis. But we have a massive amount of evidence. Oh, yes, we have Homo erectus, upright walking men. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Let's go look at the evidence. I mean, here it is. It's a pretty scary guy. Yes, that's an ape-like ancestor. Let's look at the chart. Here is Homo erectus. Extend Homo erectus out. Would it ever lead to the human lineage? Now, there are some Christians and creationists that will even tell you that they believe that Homo erectus was pretty much human. But I'm just going to use their charts. I'm just using their charts, okay? Doesn't lead to us. So that's not even in there. Ah, but let me throw one in. This is free. I'm going to throw this in for free. Because this one's been used a little bit more. Homo ergaster. I don't know what happened. Somebody used it somewhere, and then I started having some folks coming after me on it. So let's deal with it. Secular quote, Homo ergaster. Maybe. Hey, look, if the best you got is it may be something, I'm not too worried. Maybe an early form of Homo erectus found only in Africa. Its designation as a separate species is debated. If you're still debating it, I'm not worried. But let's take it a step further. Homo ergaster was discovered by Richard Leakey in 1984. Thank you. So the guy that I've been quoting discovered this in 1984. It's hard for you to see that. You'll have to trust me, but I can show it to you if you want to see for yourself. Remember that quote I've been giving to you? When was that quote made? To date, there's been nothing found to truthfully purport. You can't see the date. I can. 1990. 6 years after the discovery, the guy who discovered it says it's not in our lineage. Why are you using it in the chart showing that we evolved from it? You're being lied to. Satan doesn't play fair. Learn how to read these charts, man. I'm telling you, you learn how to read the charts, and you're not going to be afraid of this stuff anymore. Ah, but Carl, now you are in trouble, because now we have archaic Homo sapien. Ancient man, what are you going to do? Well, I got to be honest. This can be scary, because you see, archaic Homo sapien includes Neanderthal man. You've heard of Neanderthal man. That's another famous ancestor. Well, take a look at Neanderthal man. There he is. And this is a scary guy. This is a guy that most definitely needed a dental plan. Yes, he needed a dental plan. When you look at the chompers on that boy, he needed help, okay? And we know that he had to come from some ape-like ancestor because look at the eyebrow ridges on that dude. I mean, this was a guy that had some serious eyebrow ridge action. Now, I tell you what, if you think having big eyebrow ridges means that you came from the apes, I'll let you tell this guy that. He's a 7-foot-tall professional boxer, okay? If you want to tell him he came from the apes, you go for it. I'm not messing with him. Just because you got big eyebrow ridges doesn't mean he came from the apes. It means you got big eyebrow ridges. And guys, one of the things that stinks about being a guy, the longer we live, the bigger our eyebrow ridges get. Deal with it. It's just the way that it is. Oh, but Carl, now we got you. Ape to Man, great show, on History Channel. Watch what they say about Neanderthal Man. Again, this isn't Christian stuff. This is their stuff.
Neanderthal seems so promising when it's first presented. It seems like it's going to be the answer. But on closer inspection, it starts to fall apart. Most importantly, the key fossils just seem to be too much like humans. Neanderthal, at best, is a man with some ape qualities.
Well, so much for that ancestor. Go to Neander Valley where they found the bones. And when they first found the bones, they drew pictures of Neanderthal man. And that is not a guy that you want to run into on a dark night. I mean, I'm serious. That would freak you out. I mean, hairy all over the place, and look at the toenails on that guy. I mean, he not only needed a dentist, he needed a pedicure. This is a man with some serious toenails, okay? By the way, I'm a simple man. I wonder about stuff like this. All you have are the bones. And from the bones, you know how hairy the body was. Nobody else? No problems with that? You know how long the toenails are because you have the bones. How can you know toenail length from bones? Well, they figured it out because they found more bones later on, and there's Neanderthal man. He's walking upright. He's lost all the hair off of his body. He's having to wear skins. Be patient. Give science time. They'll catch up to reality, because today, when you see Neanderthal man depicted, you put him in a business suit, walk him down the street, you think he's on his way to church. I mean, that's it. And what I find very interesting is I've been doing ministry now for a really long time. And one of the guys that I spoke with you about this morning, one of my mentors, is a guy named Dwayne Gish. And I find it very interesting that Neanderthal man has evolved into Dwayne Gish. That looks just like Dwayne Gish. I'm telling you. A missing link has evolved into a creationist. Now that's pretty powerful. Guys, that's it? That's everything that he threw at us? Yep, that's it. Do you think, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful, do you think if Wendy said, Dr. Dawkins, let me show you their charts. Australopithecus, none of those are in the human lineage. Lucy is no longer accepted in the human lineage. So why are you using that as evidence that we evolved? Dr. Dawkins, Homo erectus, not accepted in the human lineage. It's off to its side. You think if she had pulled that out and talked like that, do you think that would have made a difference? Do you think that it would have escalated? I told you, go look at the evidence. I did look at the evidence, sir, and here's what it shows. Here's your charts. Why are you telling me that we evolved from it when your charts show that we didn't come from it? That's all I'm saying. Am I going to win the argument? Not trying to win the argument. I'm trying to give an answer for the reason for the hope that lies within me, with meekness and fear. And then you let the Holy Spirit do what the Holy Spirit's going to do. But by doing that, you know what you do? There's a lot of folks that are standing around that wishing that they had the gumption to stand up and say something. And we need the spearheads. We need the ones that are being willing to be the lightning rods to take the shots. We need those folks. Because right now, we're almost invisible, unfortunately. So, there's got to be more. Well, let me take you to the $50 book that I bought on human evolution, the Cambridge Encyclopedia of Human Evolution. Thank you very much. That's a respected name, right? Cambridge. I didn't go buy Billy Bob's book on human evolution. $50 book. It must have evidence. Yep, I got the chart. There it is, Carl. You fundamentalist hick. You start here with some little monkey type thing. Give it enough time, you get all the different apes and people. Anything look interesting to you? Do you see the question marks? I've made them bigger so that you can see them. There's 11 of them, and guess where they always take place, where evolution is supposed to have happened. By the way, here's another one of the charts. This is one of the latest charts showing that you start here with ape-like creature, and then you get people. There's Lucy. Notice she doesn't lead to anything anymore. It's an evolutionary dead end. This is the new missing link. And what do you see for the new missing link between apes and humans? What do you see? Nothing. Two question marks and skinny lines. Skinny line means story. Oh, here's another one. Now you're in trouble. You start here and you get people and you get apes. Yeah, look at their chart. Black stuff, fact. Blue stuff, hypothesized evolutionary links. What's that mean? Come with me to the Smithsonian. This is how sad it is. You fundamentalist hit, Carl. You argue against human evolution. We have a massive amount of evidence. Look at all that evidence. Yeah, I don't like the way that evidence is depicted. So you know what I can do? This is at the Smithsonian. I put my finger on that little circle, and I take the exact same evidence, and I totally rearrange it, and I make some of it disappear because it doesn't fit my belief system. There's an explanation. That's how it happened. But I don't like that one. So you know what I can do? I put my finger on the little dot again. I slide it down again. And I totally rearrange everything again. And if that's your evidence that you can take and rearrange it in three different ways, and how can you argue against that? I mean, guys, that's what they're doing? Yeah, that's what they're doing. Have you ever seen this cartoon? I love this cartoon. You got a big mathematic formula, and to make the two things work, you got this, then a miracle occurs. I mean, people love to use this to make fun of Christians. You Christians, all you have is faith. You got faith, miracles, that's all you got. I mean, I think you should be a little bit more explicit here in step two. May I, at the risk of sounding like a nasty guy, I'm going to get rid of the story. I'm getting rid of the skinny blue line, and I'm going to do to you what you do to me. I think you need to be a little bit more explicit here, a little bit more explicit here, a little bit more explicit here. If you want me to believe in your system, I think you need to get a little bit more explicit in all those places where the question marks, the dash lines, the no lines take place. You know what question marks mean? Stick with me. We'll deal with it. Because there's got to be more, Carl. Come on. Everybody knows there's more. Take a listen.
Look at the evolution of the horse. Look at the evolution of the elephant. There are evolution of the whale. There are so many beautiful stories. I mean, you'd be fascinated. You would think that these fossil histories are to the greater glory of God. If
so
go
would
look
it...
At them.
Look at the evolution of the horse. Look at the evolution of the whale. I mean, come on. Everybody sees this stuff. Let me take you to my $70 book on horse evolution. I will give you a package deal. Package deal. It's got to be true. Do you see all the dash lines? Do you know what the dash lines mean? No evidence. Take a listen. This is a quote, non-Christian quote. Take a listen to what he has to say here. The record of evolution is still surprisingly jerky, and ironically, we have even fewer examples of evolutionary transition than we had in Darwin's time. Forgive me. I have to ask a question before I go any further. How many examples of evolutionary transition did we have in Darwin's time? Goose eggs, baby. Goose eggs, okay? As a matter of fact, if you read The Origin of Species, Darwin taught that we got whales because the bear went back into the ocean and the bear evolved into the whale. Yeah, that's not accepted anymore. So, simple question. If you have fewer examples of evolutionary transition than you had in Darwin's time, if you had goose eggs in Darwin's time, how many does that mean we have today? I mean, are we into negative numbers here to prove our point? I've got -3, he's got -5. I win! Negative numbers are proving your point? I don't think so. He continues, by this I mean that some of the classic cases of Darwinian change in the fossil record, such as the evolution of the horse, had to be discarded or modified. Now, I have been studying for years this issue. And in full disclosure, I got to tell it to you. It's a very hard thing to do. I have found evidence for evolution. Young people, forgive me. I've just got to bare my soul. I've actually found evolution of the donut. Yes. I now know beyond a shadow of a doubt that donuts have evolved. And I must share it with you. It would not be fair if I did not. You see, there's only two ways that we got a donut. Number one, in the beginning, man made it. But my research shows differently. My research shows clearly that donuts evolved. And here's how it happened. Approximately 65 million years ago, we got a lump of dough. Now, where did the lump of dough come from? I don't have a clue, but it just appeared. And we got this lump of dough, and some of those lumps of dough had a mutation, and some got flat and hard and turned into cookies, and some of them got puffy and turned into bread. Now, I'm not a bread and cookie guy. I'm a donut guy. That's my very specific field of study. So some of those lumps of dough had a mutation and became the plain donut. Now, plain donuts, I studied them, but briefly, they were pretty boring, quite frankly. So I went into a very specific field of study in the donut field. And you have some of these plain donuts that had mutations, and they got lumps and bumps and sprinkles. But those are foo-foo donuts. Those are girly donuts. I don't do girly donuts. I do man donuts. And so some of those donuts turned into bagels and bear claws. Now, I do have a minor in bear clawology. I have definitely studied some bear claws. Yes. And the Cheerio. Yes, the Cheerio. It is in the donut family. And I can prove this to you scientifically, okay? You see, the Cheerio, the bear claw, the bagel, the donut, the lump of dough, they're all 98% similar. Christians. Hello, apes and humans are 98% similar, so therefore they came from a common ancestor. Donuts, bagels, Cheerios. You don't get it. Okay. Guys, have you ever heard that claim that apes and humans are 98% similar? That's one of the big ones that they love to use. Oh, chimps and humans are 98% similar. First of all, we're not. Well, we are. But that's only if you disregard like 14% of the human DNA and about 7 to 8% of the chimp DNA. And then you put those two together that you've taken out parts of, and then you add spaces to make it all fit. How many of you downloaded the app today? Anybody? Download the app. It's Sunday night. You can take your phones out now. Reasons for Hope. Download it. Go to more Smithsonian Virtual Tour. Go to number three. I think it's number three. PhD. I'm not a PhD, but I know some. Legit PhD who works in this field, worked with people that worked on the Human Genome Project, explains to you exactly what they needed to do to make the human and chimp DNA 98% similar. He explains it to you. But, for the sake of argument, let me just say we are 98% similar. We're not, but for the sake of argument, we are. Does that prove that we came from a common source? Have any of you ever been driving and it started to rain? Anybody? Oh, okay. Now, as you were driving in the rain, did it immediately run across your mind that you had better pull under an underpass somewhere and get out of the rain because your window might get busted out by a watermelon? None of that crossed your mind. You should be afraid. You should be very afraid. Because you see, a raindrop and a watermelon are 98% similar. So one of these days, look, it's not the 98% that's similar that's a big deal. It's the 2% that's dissimilar, that's so dissimilar, there's no way they came from the same source. Guys, my field of study was the jelly-filled donut. Yes, I have a PhD in the jelly-filled donut field. Does anybody accept my explanation of donut evolution? Anybody? Any new converts? Come on. Nobody? Oh, thank you. One. Hey, the dues are $100 a month, and I send you a free t-shirt, okay? So after I get your $100 out, all right? Only one convert. Most of you are looking at me and saying, he's a nut. That's besides the point. Do you know what that chart is, by the way? Look at the evolution of the horse. Look at the evolution of the whale. Remember Dr. Dawkins said that? That is the whale evolution chart. All I did was take the skulls out and replace them with donuts and bagels and bear claws and Cheerios. Watch. It's the exact same chart. The dashed lines, the question marks are in exactly the same spot. All I did was replace skulls with donuts and dough. You laugh at my explanation of donut evolution, but we're losing 50 to 88% of the young people raised in the church to this. We haven't taught a generation how to think. Do you see all the question marks? Do you know what the question marks mean? They have faith. You Christians, all you have is faith. Excuse me. When I look at your charts, I see faith. And by the way, mine's not a blind faith. Because mine is from somebody who has always been there who told me what happened. And I can test this. And what I see in the world, is it consistent with or does it contradict this? That's what it all comes down to. Are we teaching a generation how to apply their faith in the real world, or are we letting this get more and more relegated to just fairy tale and fable status? And we let the world teach the facts. Oh, I should show you this. I have actually found hard evidence, solid fossil evidence, for evolution at Kentucky Fried Chicken. I can't figure out if it's like the common ancestor between the spoon and the fork, or if the spoon evolved first, then the spork evolved, then the fork. I can't figure that part out, but I know it's true because I've actually found different races of it too. So y'all heard me this morning. There's only one race, the human race. I'm just poking fun at you. Okay, come on, Carl. Come on. This is what Dawkins said. Faith is the great cop-out, the great excuse to evade the need to think and evaluate evidence. Well, guess what? I look at your charts, you got faith, sir. Now, let me finish up with this. Short story. Oh, by the way, last tool that Satan uses to get us to doubt, bold-faced lies. Satan's a liar. Do I think that answering Dr. Dawkins is going to change his mind? Answering Bill Maher, do I think going out and arguing with these guys is going to change them? Check, good. No, I don't. So why do you do it? Because I'm commanded to give an answer for the reason for the hope that lies within me. Short story. Man came up to me after I spoke. His sister brought him up to me. He was a professor at a university in England, and his sister brought him up and dropped him off on me and left. He teaches global warming in a university in England, and we had an interesting conversation for 20 minutes. We were back and forth. We were on two different spectrums. After 20 minutes, this guy looks at me, and he goes, "You're not what I expected." And I was like, "Okay, how do you mean that? Because you can take that a few ways. How do you mean that? I just expected you to want to fight and argue with me because I don't believe the same way that you do." I said, "Sir, I'm not going to argue and fight with you." I said, I just find it interesting. I mean, I think of a guy like Richard Dawkins. Richard Dawkins, when I see him, he gets visibly angry when somebody talks about God or the Bible. You can just see it. He just gets mad. I said, "I want you to think, if you came up to me and you were totally serious, said to me, 'Carl, I believe the moon is made out of green cheese,' would I get mad at you? Would I fight you? Would I argue with you? Brother, I'd pat you on the back and say, 'You might want to go get some help.' I'm not going to fight with you if you think the moon is made out of green cheese. I want to feel bad for you." The fact that he gets mad tells me it's a spiritual issue and there's still hope for him. I'm praying for him. We separated, had a good talk, about 10 more minutes. No fighting, no arguing, but I'm standing my position. He's standing his position back and forth. I got an email from that guy 6 months later, and he said, "Carl," I met him on a Thursday. He said, "Carl, I just want you to know that I received the Lord the Sunday after we met." Now, you know the Holy Spirit gets all the credit. Holy Spirit does all that. And the sister had been the one pouring into this man's life, but she brought him, and I had an opportunity to just pour a little water, scratch a little dirt on that seed. That's all we can do. I don't try to argue. I don't try to convict or convert. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But the Holy Spirit, God, tells you and I that we are required to give an answer why we believe what we say we believe. It's not a suggestion. And that doesn't mean that, "Oh, I don't know, so go ask your Sunday school teacher, go ask your pastor." No. It means that you and I have got to get busy about getting in and studying and knowing why we believe what we say we believe. Now, am I going to go to my pastor? Am I going to go to teachers? Am I going to go to places to get answers? Yes, I am. But I'm going to have my child with me when I'm doing that because I'm going to set a pattern. You ask me a question I don't know, I'm not going to pawn you off on somebody. This is how I go get answers. Come with me. Let's go. That's walking in the footsteps of the rabbi. That's walking and learning from the one that we should be learning from. Parent. That's what we're trying to do. Trying to encourage a generation of men, especially to step up and be the godly men that God has called them to be, trying to pour into a generation to fire them up. They have energy. I'm getting old. I'm wearing down. But they got energy. And if you can harness that energy and get them going, good things can happen. Pastor, thank you for letting me be here. I got to finish because we got ice cream. And when ice cream calls, you don't wait.